Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app.
Okay, so imagine a criminal mastermind, a real genius. He's on the run, authorities are closing in, his face is everywhere.
The classic setup.
Right, and to survive, he has to change his appearance. But I'm not talking about, you know, a fake mustache. This guy has a warehouse with 2,000 distinct full-body disguises.
2,000, that's a massive wardrobe, a logistical nightmare, really.
It gets so much worse. There's a rule, a very, very strict rule. And breaking it means he's caught instantly. He has to wear exactly one disguise at a time.
Only one.
Exactly. If he tries to wear two, he just looks like a mess, the disguise completely fails. If he wears none, well, he's exposed. So he has to keep 1,999 of those coats locked away and display just one.
And he has to be able to swap them, right? Run in, strip off coat A, put on coat B, and make absolutely sure he doesn't walk out wearing like half of coat C by mistake. Exactly. Now, if this were a person, he'd say, okay, brilliant, if maybe a little paranoid, but we are not talking about a human. We are talking about a single-celled organism.
No brain.
No brain, no eyes, no nervous system. So here is the question that, I mean, it keeps biologists up at night. How does a little bag of enzymes pull off a logistical feat that complex? How does a single cell know how to count to one?
That is the master of disguise paradox.
Yeah.
It's really the fundamental mystery of the African trypanosome.
And the stakes here are life and death.
Right.
This whole mechanism is why our immune system just struggles to defeat African sleeping sickness. We usually look at the disguises themselves, you know, the surface proteins.
Mm-hmm.
But today we're going inside the warehouse. We're looking for the decision maker, the molecular manager that enforces that one at a time rule.
Because if you can find the manager, you don't need to fight all the disguises.
You just burn down the warehouse.
You just burn down the warehouse.
Yeah. So today we're doing a deep dive into a paper that claims to have found that manager. It's titled, A Factor Integrating Transcription and Repression of Surface Antigen Genes in African Trypanosomes.
This is a really landmark study. Mm-hmm. It comes from a huge collaboration. I mean, we're talking Maria Agustina Berazategui, Calvin Tiengwe and colleagues from Imperial College London, the University of York, Oxford, a whole list of others.
That's a serious team.
It is. And before we really get into the data, we have to make a special recognition.
Please, go ahead.
This work, it honors the legacy of Gloria Rudenko. She was just a giant in the field of trypanosome genetics, and she actually initiated this study. It was published in PNAS in 2026, and it really stands as a testament to her vision.
Wow.
She wanted to understand the nuclear architecture of this parasite, and this paper, well, it does exactly that.
It's incredible to see that kind of scientific lineage continue. So, okay, let's set the stage. We're dealing with Trypanosoma brucei. This is the parasite that causes sleeping sickness in people.
And Ghana in cattle, right. And the reason it's so hard to cure and why there's no vaccine is this thing called antigenic variation. The parasite is covered in this dense coat of what's called variant surface glycoprotein, or VSG.
The disguise.
That's the one. The immune system learns to attack disguise A. Most of the parasites die off, but a few switch to disguise B. They survive, they multiply, and the whole cycle just repeats. The parasite has a genomic library of over 2,000 of these silent VSG genes.
Okay, I get the library idea. But the real prompt for today is the mechanism. We know it has the genes, we know it switches them. What was the missing piece of the puzzle here?
The missing piece was the coordination. It's a process we call monoallelic expression.
Meaning one at a time?
One at a time. Only one gene is active. And this active gene, it lives in a very specific location called the bloodstream expression site, or BES.
I've always kind of pictured this like a spotlight on a stage. You've got 2,000 actors standing in the dark, but the spotlight is only ever on one of them.
That's a great metaphor, but let's make it more physical. In the cell's nucleus, that spotlight is actually a physical factory. It's called the expression site body, or ESB. It's a little compartment where all the transcription machinery gets together.
So the active gene has to physically move into this factory to get read.
Yes, exactly. The factory is packed with RNA polymerase white. Now, before this paper, we knew about the gas pedal, a protein called ESB1 that sits in the factory and basically says, go. And we knew about the brakes proteins called VEX that silence all the other 1,999 genes.
Okay, so gas pedal brake, that sounds pretty complete. Why were people still looking?
Because Just having a gas pedal and a brake isn't enough.
Yeah.
Imagine a car where the gas and the brake are controlled by two different drivers who can't talk to each other.
Right.
One is screaming, go, and the other is screaming, stop. How do you make sure you never press both at the same time? Or neither?
You'd crash. Or stall. You need a transmission. Or, you know, a single driver who controls both pedals.
Precisely. The field suspected there had to be a link, something that physically connects the activation of the one to the repression of all the others. But, finding it was incredibly difficult.
Why, though? If it's so central, shouldn't it be, I don't know, big and obvious?
You would think so, but the nucleus is just a crowded, chaotic place. Thousands of proteins all buzzing around. Finding that one specific manager is like trying to find a needle in a haystack, except the haystack is moving.
Okay, so walk us through how they did it. This wasn't just a standard fishing trip, was it?
No, not at all. This was a really elegant, dual-pronged approach. They combined what they called a physical hunt with a data hunt.
Okay.
Let's start with the physical hunt. They used a technique called turboid.
Turboid. I've heard of this. It's a type of proximity labeling, isn't it?
It is. But the nuance is really important. See, standard methods usually just take a snapshot of proteins that are, like, tightly bound together.
Yeah.
A photo of people holding hands. But in biology, interactions are often super transient. A manager might just walk by a worker, shout an order, and keep moving. A snapshot would totally miss that.
So turboid is more like, I don't know, a history tracker.
That's a great way to put it. They attach this specialized enzyme, the biotin ligus, to the known gas pedal protein, ESP1. And this enzyme, it acts like a frantic graffiti artist. Anything that comes within a few nanometers of ESP1 gets tagged with biotin, even if it just brushes past.
So they let it run, and then they just pull out everything with paint on it.
Right.
And that gives them a list of neighbors.
A list of neighbors, correct.
Here.
But that list is still really messy. It's full of random bystanders, which is why they needed the second prong, the data hunt.
Right.
So they looked at the transcriptomics, the gene activity records, and they were looking for a ghost.
A ghost.
They needed a protein that only exists when the factory exists. See, the expression site body, that factory we talked about, it's only present when the parasite is in the bloodstream of a mammal.
Ah, I see.
When the parasite is in the tsetse fly, the factory just disappears.
Okay, so the logic is, filter that big list from the turboid, show me proteins that hang out with the gas pedal, but T only when the parasite is in the bloodstream.
Exactly. They subtracted everything else. And when they overlapped these two massive data sets, this list of thousands of proteins, it just collapsed down to a handful. And one uncharacterized gene stood out, TB927.3.1660.
That does not exactly roll off the tongue.
No, it does not. So they renamed it ESBX.
ESBX. And the X implies, what, a crossover? An intersection?
Yep. It stands for expression site body X factor or crosslink, because they found out it bridges that gap.
But before we get to what it does, did they actually check it was in the factory?
They did. They used super resolution microscopy. Yeah. I mean, we were talking about precision down to the nanometer. They found ESBX sits right in the ESB factory, about 68 nanometers from the gas pedal, ESB1, and 142 nanometers from the RNA polymerase.
68 nanometers. In molecular terms, that's hugging distance.
It is. It's right in the middle of all the action.
Okay, so they caught the suspect at the scene of the crime. Now for the interrogation. Usually in these studies, you knock the protein down, you remove it, and you see what breaks. What happened when they took out ESBX?
So result number one was kind of expected. The crash, the parasites just stopped growing, and the population collapsed within 24 hours.
Which just confirms it's essential for life. But that doesn't tell us how it works, right? I mean, remove the engine, the car stops. Remove the wheels, the car stops. Which one was this?
And that's where it gets really fascinating. They looked inside the nucleus during this crash. Result number two, The factory collapse. The expression site body literally disintegrated.
It just fell apart.
Completely. The RNA polymerase, which is normally clustered in this tight, efficient ball, just dispersed all over the nucleus. It's like the walls of the factory vanished and the workers just wandered off.
So without ESBX, you can't hold the factory together. And that explains why the active coat stopped being made. No factory, no product.
Yes, but, and this is the paradox, this is the moment that makes this paper so important. Result number three, the leak.
The leap.
You'd think, right, if the factory's broken, all transcription just stops. And the active coat did turn off, yes. But the silent library, those other 1,999 genes, they started waking up.
Wait, hold on. You break the machine that turns the one gene on, and suddenly the other genes turn on too. That seems backwards.
It does, doesn't it? It implies that ESBX is doing two totally opposite things at the same time. It's required to shout the main message, but it's also required to silence all the background noise.
So it's a single switch that controls both the green light and the red light at the same time.
Exactly. And they verified this with the inverse experiment, overexpression. They flooded the cell with way too much ESBX.
And did that make the factory stronger?
No, it just confused the whole system. It didn't create new factories, but it caused this multi-coat confusion. The parasites started expressing bits and pieces of different disguises all at once.
Which is that chaotic mess the criminal mastermind is trying to avoid.
Right. And this really confirms that ESBX isn't just a brick in the wall, it's the architect. It's maintaining the whole hierarchy.
I want to dig into this idea of silencing a bit more. You said the silent genes started waking up. Does that mean silence in the genome isn't actually, you know, zero activity?
That is a crucial insight from this paper. They propose a new model, basically, of transcriptional states. They distinguish between a fully engaged state and a trickle state.
Okay, unpack that for me.
The fully engaged state, that's the active coat. It's high speed, high volume, fully processed. That's the spotlight.
Mm.
But the other 1,999 genes are in a trickle state. They're not dead. They're trying to speak, but they're being actively suppressed. They just produce these short, abortive little pieces of RNA.
So it's like a classroom, the teacher's speaking, that's fully engaged, and all the students are whispering, that's the trickle.
Exactly. And ESBX is the teacher who keeps the room quiet while delivering the lecture. When you remove ESBX, the teacher leaves. The lecture stops, so the active gene dies, but all the students start shouting. The silent genes wake up.
That is a perfect visualization. The trickle becomes a flood.
They call it enhanced trickle. The dam just breaks.
So what lets ESBX do this? Does the protein itself look special? Is there a shake that lets it be the teacher?
It does. And this connects to a really hot topic in cell biology right now. ESBX has these specific domains called BRCT domains.
BRCT, aren't those usually found in DNA repair proteins? Like BRCA1?
They are. They're known as sticky domains. They act as molecular scaffolds. And the authors suggest that ESBX uses these domains to drive something called liquid phase separation.
Okay, now we're getting into physics. Phase separation is the fancy term for what? Oil and water?
Essentially, yeah. The idea is that the nucleus isn't just a bag of water. It can form these distinct droplets, biomolecular condensates, that separate from their surroundings without needing a membrane wall.
So ESBX is the oil that creates the droplet.
It's the agent that drives the formation of the droplet. It pulls the RNA polymerase and the DNA into this dense phase-separated liquid blob.
And that explains the factory collapse result perfectly. If ESBX is the thing creating the surface tension for the droplet, when you remove it, the droplet just dissolves.
Exactly. And once that droplet dissolves, the concentration of all the enzymes just plummets.
Yeah.
The gas pedal, ESB1, can't find the gene.
Mm-hmm.
But crucially, the brakes, the VEX proteins, they rely on this structure too. Without the droplet, the repressors lose their focus and the whole system of silence fails.
So ESBX is upstream of everything. It's the structural foundation for the entire logic of the parasite's survival.
It is the integrator. It links the structure, the droplet, to the function, the gas, and the brakes.
That is so deeply satisfying. It takes this conceptual paradox, how to be on and off at the same time, and solves it with structural biology.
It really does.
So why does this matter? I mean, besides being a beautiful piece of science, what can we do with this information?
Well, first and foremost, you've got the clinical angle. African sleeping sickness is what we call a neglected tropical disease, but it's still very dangerous. And current treatments can be pretty harsh. ESBX represents a fantastic potential drug target.
Because it's a Jenga piece.
Exactly. You pull out this one block and the whole tower just falls. You don't just stop the parasite from growing, you force it to reveal itself to the immune system by completely messing up its disguise. It's a two-for-one blow.
And since humans don't have an expression site body, a drug targeting this specific mechanism might be very safe for the patient.
That's the hope. But beyond the disease, this really matters for biology as a whole. It challenges our sort of binary view of gene regulation. We tend to think of transcription factors as either activators or repressors.
Green light or red light?
Right. But this shows that in complex systems, you can have an integrator that manages both through phase separation. And that leads to a really provocative question.
Which is?
Biology repeats itself. If a parasite uses phase-separated droplets to manage its high-stakes gene expression, do we?
You mean in human cells?
Think about cancer. Cancer is often defined by this kind of genomic chaos, genes turning on that should be off, genes turning off that should be on.
It's a disguise failure, in a way. The cancer cell is trying to hide or grow, and it's messing up its own regulation.
Exactly. So are there human equivalents of ESBX? Are there integrator proteins in our own cells that keep the factory of gene expression orderly? And when those proteins break or mutate, is that what leads to the chaos we see in tumors?
That is a massive thought. We might be looking at a mechanism that isn't just about a tropical parasite, but about the fundamental architecture of genetic control itself.
It opens up a whole new way of looking at transcriptional chaos, not just as a broken switch, but as a dissolved factory.
From a criminal mastermind in a warehouse to the fundamental physics of cancer, that is quite a journey.
That's why we do the deep dive.
So to summarize, we went looking for the manager of the warehouse. We found ESBX. We learned it uses phase separation. It uses physics to build a room where it can simultaneously scream go to one gene and shut up to 2,000 others. And if you take it away, the room dissolves and the parasite is left naked and confused.
That's a perfect summary.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening and join us next time as we explore more science base by base.
The silent voice.